Brian Schottenheimer this morning, the new Cowboys head coach, was introduced yesterday in a press conference held by Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. And joining us now on the Ticket Hotline is the Cowboys owner and general manager. We say good morning to Jerry Jones. How are you?
Y'all been out there grabbing air on that caboose?
Yeah. Yeah, we never quite grab a hold of that train.
That's good. I always have hope to get back to smiles and glory holes. I think this is going to really do it now.
You think?
I do. We conducted an exhaustive search looking for the next head coach of the Dallas Football Cowboys.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I had Spalding help me post the job on LinkedIn and Indeed, Craigslist, Grindr, all the ones that are on my phone. But then Stephen came in and he reminded me that there was a milquetoast guy right down the hall that I could control, so that made that decision a whole lot easier.
That's how you concluded that search.
Yes, and there was a lot of interest in this job. A lot of interest.
Was there?
Yeah, there was. There was. Jason Garrett even put on a hook-on beard and snuck into the Star. Tried to apply for the job under the name Thaddeus Ginger. Like we wouldn't sniff that out. But I had him escorted out of the building, and then I think New Roosevelt put a bullet in the back of one of his knees for emphasis.
Oh, my gosh, wow. Jerry.
And Rex Ryan, he was interested.
Yeah, we heard that.
And he offered me a picture of his wife's feet and a free ride on her.
Oh.
If I would, A, hire him, and, two, let him watch from a papasan in the corner while he lazily tugged it up to a half chub.
It's like three bingos.
And it's no secret, but Michael Irving, he wanted me to go with the Deion deal again.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was interested in Deion. I was. I tried to get a second interview with Deion, but when I called his son by the wrong name about for the fourth time on the phone conversation, he hung up on me.
Oh,
stopped returning my calls.
That's understandable.
That was Deion deal. Went from Deion deal to done deal.
Oh, no.
So that's over with. But really and truly, when it came down to it, it came down to Kellen Moore and Brian Schottenheimer. And, and Brian... the decision from then was easy for me because I know Brian is old enough to get into the strip clubs with me.
Gosh.
And Kellen just, hey, he cost us a fortune in Lunchables and Capri Sun the first time around. He's here. I don't want to go through it again.
Yeah, we know you. You got to keep expenses down.
Keep those expenses down. And I know, I've listened to y'all's show. I know what's being said out there.
Oh, you do?
I know there's many pessimistic naysayers out there that have said the only reason I chose Brian is because he was an inoffensive hire that didn't cost me as much as other experienced coaches, and he also wouldn't have the clout to challenge me on my personnel decisions because he's a football power bottom, which...
What?
Which, okay, fair enough, but I also like him.
So you don't disagree with any of that?
Well, I can't disagree with it, no, but, I mean, I do believe that Brian, and this is my official statement, I do believe that Brian can change our culture on this team and make us a winner again.
Okay.
And if he can't, you know, I can still afford to have a helicopter and a yacht, so no big loss.
Yeah. That's not what fans want to hear.
And this is not the cheap hire that everyone thinks it is. I'm paying Brian good money. You do realize that the federal minimum wage is only $7.25 an hour. I'm paying five times that with Brian. Five times.
Okay.
And we got that Matt Eberflusenheimer guy to be our defensive coordinator.
That's what we hear. That'd be good.
Fresh off his unsuccessful stint as head coach in the Bears.
Yeah,
Which made him even a bigger bargain than Brian was. I got him for 2x minimum wage and a handful of Target gift cards.
So
he
it's
loves
like,
Target.
More,
loves
more
Target.
Bargain shopping for you.
Bargain shopping. And I don't know if this slipped past your football consciousness, but I've named my kids co-owners.
Yes, we did notice that.
Didn't mean to.
You didn't?
No. This happened one Saturday. A few months back, they come into my room, and they woke me up jumping on my bed and everything. And I was groggy when Stephen shoved some papers in my hands and told me to sign it. I figured it was just, you know, another one of Jerry Jr.'s report cards or one of his failed tests. The school makes us sign every one of his failed tests to let his teacher know that we saw it. So I just signed whatever Stephen put in front of me, and next thing I know, his nameplate on the star had co-owner on it.
Oh, man.
So
wow.
I tried to take him off the ownership papers, and then he and Charlotte and Junior, they sued me for breach of contract.
Oh, gosh.
But little did they know, I'm very experienced in my children suing me, so...
Okay. Almost made it through the visit. We almost did.
So far, in case you're keeping score, I've been sued by all four of my unknown number of children.
That's tough.
It is tough, but I think we're going to have a good season this year, and I think that everyone needs to give Shoddy a chance. That's what I call him, Shoddy.
Give Shoddy, you said
give
that
Shoddy
a bunch
a chance.
Yesterday.
That's the big slogan that I'm going with now. And I think Cowboy fans are going to be pleasantly surprised by this season that we have coming up here.
Okay.
All right.
I have ordered Schottenheimer to get us as long as he's above 500, I think all the bills will be paid and everybody will be happy.
Boy, you're living on the margins, aren't you?
We're living on the margins there, aren't we, Jub? And hey, how about you come on back and do a little PA for that there stadium I got happening?
I don't know.
Hey, I bought your loyalty once. I'll buy it again.
I don't think Jerry Jr. would like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Gene all.
Two on the ticket. We are joined by a deep throat informant with never before heard details of what really happened behind the scenes with the Cowboys and their head coaching situation. And we have disguised this person's voice to protect their identity. Good morning, deep throat informant. Thank you for your courage.
Yes.
Now, can you tell us what went on with Jerry, Stephen, McCarthy, Schottenheimer?
Before I speak on this, what is happening? Oh, my God.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Before I speak on this, I must tell you that I cannot speak on this.
Oh, please.
I'm
have to.
You frightened and for fear, and I cannot speak.
No, you must. You must. Please.
Okay. I will tell you, the deal with Schottenheimer did not go as smoothly as the Jones family would have you believe.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there was trouble.
He was not their first choice.
Hmm.
In fact, he was the 501st choice for Jerry. But everyone Jerry asked had turned him down. Jason Garrett, Jason Witten, Jason from the Friday the 13th movies. Jerry was even turned down by Sean Payton.
Whoa, he's under contract.
Jake Paul and Post Malone. I can't go down the whole list, but just scanning it, I see it filled with familiar names. Dion, Lincoln Coleman, Blake Lively, Lino. And then at 501, right behind the Ghost of Christmas Past and Barbaro, is Brian Schottenheimer.
Okay. There's no way.
The spelling of Schottenheimer is almost criminal. I was within ear Schottenheimer when Jerry called the shoddy into his office and told him he was going to be the head coach. listener. I said told, not asked. What is happening to my connection?
I don't know. Someone's trying to silence you, I think.
They are trying to silence me. What is happening?
Moose.
Okay, do you have me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yes. Yes, he told Shoddy he was going to take the job, not asked him. And Shoddy refused and begged Jerry to kill him instead.
He would rather be dead than be Cowboys head coach?
But Jerry refused this request. Instead, Jerry reached into the original Resolute desk, which he owns and uses, and pulled out a revolver gun pistol.
Whoa.
And pointed this gun pistol at the shoddy.
Pistol.
Redundant.
I believe Jerry pointed the gun at Shoddy in order to hold him at gunpoint.
Well, okay.
And at that point, Shoddy had no choice but to accept the job.
That's so weird.
But it was not without a fight. He lunged at the hair-pieced octogenarian and grabbed him by the suit jacket lapel. Shoddy then grabbed Jerry's paternity suit signing pin out of his breast pocket and then, and only then, proceeded to stab Jerry in the neck.
Oh, what?
But little did Shoddy the Brian know that Jerry always kept a decoy pin in his pocket in the event of such a disgruntled stabbing.
That's very elaborate.
This pin was filled with a mixture of cocaine and bull adrenaline to assist Jerry in the event of a human conflict.
Wow, that's elaborate.
Jerry, suddenly and without warning, grew 3 inches taller and lifted the Resolute desk above his head and threw it through the wall, displaying the heads of various former boy band members.
What?
Brian Shoddy scrambled for the gun that had skittered under the glass display holding Amelia Earhart's breast implants.
Holy.
And he pointed the gun at Jerry. Jerry, aware of this fact, closed the distance quickly, and the two somewhat football men began wrestling.
God.
It was at that very time the air was split by the thunderclap of a single gunshot.
Oh, my.
Brian and Jerry, eyes as big as big areolas, stared at one another, each expecting the other to fall. But neither fell. As it turns out, the bullet had hit the Viagra candy tin Jerry keeps in his breast pocket and then deflected into the secondary backup hobo heart Jerry has implanted into his chest for redundancy and parlor tricks. It was then that Brian's fate was sealed, and he became your new Dallas Cowboys football coach.
That's,
I cannot speak amazing. Anymore.
Wait, oh, please, please. That's how it happened?
Man.
Did you know Jerry had that kind of an elaborate, eccentric collection in his office?
No. Had no idea. Or that he had a redundant heart, too.
We have a special guest.
We sure do. We're always happy when this man comes in town and is able to join us in person. And I would say this guy is legendary breakthrough. It's Tom Green.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
the iconic Tom Green.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for stopping by. Yeah. I know this is kind of maybe early for you. I don't know what your personal schedules
I'm kind
are.
I'm an early riser now because I'm a farmer now. Yeah. I get up in the morning, got to go out and feed the mule and the chickens. So, since I was last here, I moved back to Canada. I got a farm out in Ontario there, eh? And I got this beautiful mule that I ride every day through the wilderness. It's a really completely different lifestyle, and it's been an amazing thing from living in Los Angeles to ride my mule through the country. And
so you lived in LA for about 20 years,
and
then
in
2021 you decide I'm heading back home.
Yeah.
And so you buy this farm up there. Why did you decide to leave LA?
You know, it was during the worldwide global pandemic.
What is that? I hadn't heard about that. Yeah,
and I got this van because all the touring got canceled, right? And so I was kind of looking for something to do, and I got a camper van, and my dog Charlie, named after Travels with Charlie, which you knew when I got here.
Yeah. I like any Steinbeck Charlie? Named dog.
And we were
Algernon is the name of mine.
Nice. So we were driving around in the desert, you know, filming videos for my YouTube channel and looking for something to do. And I ended up just realizing I love being out in nature so much, and I missed Canada. My parents are there, and I wanted to live closer to them. So we moved back and got a farm just outside of my hometown and not far from my parents. And it's great. And we ended up doing a whole show about it that's coming out in Prime right now. So,
well, it makes sense that you're a farmer and you're in country music. This is your song that we're playing in the background right here, Home to the Country?
Yeah. The first one when we started was Home to the Country, and this one is a cover of a Canadian band called The Tragically Hip, huge band, and we recorded the whole album in their studio. The whole record's called Home to the Country, too, on Spotify.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the three projects that you have going on at Prime right now, you have the Tom Green documentary that you produced and directed, and it's all you've got all your home footage as well.
Yeah, and that goes back to the early days of the Tom Green Show on MTV, but starting before that, to how that all started on public access. And I had thousands of hours of video that I've kept, and I just went through it all and found sort of some of the moments that people haven't seen and told the story of the show. So
it's interesting how you were kind of a force to start a lot of the guerrilla type programming and content creation that people now do, being their own boss, because you did the talk show in your own living room. I think you inspired Rogan to do his podcast.
Yeah, he always tells me and his audience every time I'm on the show, because there's video that's kind of circulating now of when he came on my web show. It was before the word podcast existed, but it was basically a podcast, in my living room. And I remember he was looking around. This is in the video. He's looking around, and he's saying, man, this is amazing. You don't need executives. You can do whatever you want. Someone's just got to figure out how to make money doing this, right? And then, of course, he figured that out.
He figured it out very greatly. So you have the documentary. Then you also have the Life on a Farm series, living on the farm.
It's called Tom Green Country. And that's sort of all about today and what I'm doing now. And it's a four-episode series. And you see me get my mule Fanny the first day she arrives. This, we shot it a year and a half ago, so it's kind of amazing, because over the last year and a half, I've gone from not really knowing anything about mules and horses, and now I've saddle her up in the morning, ride her off on the trails, and it's a really completely different existence. I love it.
And then a stand-up special as well, which is not mule related at all. What's the name of this one?
Well, actually, it's called I Got a Mule.
Oh, it is. Interesting.
But it's not all about the mule, but I do have a couple of gags about it, and I talk about the life on the farm. But the stand-up special's more of a typical stand-up special. I do talk about some of my life on the farm and some of the sort of funny stories from the Tom Green Show and the days on MTV, but it's also a lot of just stand-up.
And speaking of your Tom Green Show on MTV, how are your parents doing these days?
They're doing great. And like I said, they live near me now, and they still talk to me. after all the pranks.
You're not painting your dad's car anymore, are you?
No. But they, if you watch the series, I don't want to give it away, but they may kind of turn the tables on me a little bit. And they're hilarious. I mean, they're definitely the stars of the show. My mom and dad are hilarious, and they kind of – it's a different take on things. I'm not really pulling pranks on them, but it's more about – you know when you move home or when you go back to see your – parents, you know, there's sort of always this, they still treat you like you're their kid, and you are their kid, but I'm a 53-year-old man, and we're, you know, bickering about asparagus and stuff, so it's fun, you know, they get all the big laughs on the show for sure, so it's great. But
when you look back on your antics with them as a, what are you, 53 now, somewhere in that, what's your different perspective now? Do you ever look back and cringe that you actually had the balls to do that to them?
Yeah.
And we'll speak about balls here in a second, because there's some important stuff there.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, the thing is when we were making the show, we were sort of trying to think of things that would make the audience cringe. So it's sort of only natural now that I look back at it, I cringe as well. But it's like kind of, you know, motivated sort of discomfort, right? We were trying to make the person we were talking to uncomfortable, and for the most part, doing the documentary, I look back at it and I just sort of am more flabbergasted in a way that I can't believe I had, like you said, the balls to do it. That was before I had testicular cancer, so I really did have the balls to do it back then. Now I have the ball to do it, but the documentary covers that too. When I had cancer on MTV, the show went off the air when I had cancer, and went and dealt with that, and we filmed all of that and made a special about it. So that's on the documentary. So it's cool. And I'm touring the country now. I'm at the, you know, I'm at the Granada Theater
tonight.
Here tonight in Dallas, and I was just in Oklahoma City last night, and then this weekend I'm at the Comedy Mothership, Joe's Club, and Rogan's Club in Austin, and off to Houston. So we're doing a nice Texas tour, and then. And I'm traveling with my dog and my fiance. I just got engaged, just
congrats.
Before Christmas. Thank you. And we're traveling around in this van that I got before I moved home, which is sort of this camper van, which is really cool. It's made by these guys called Boho Vans, or these guys in Phoenix, and they were on that show Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of make these cool vans where you can go out into the, so we're going to go out into the desert and travel around and do some,
and you actually filming. Sleep in it.
You sleep
van.
In it. It's got a solar full sort of solar system in it. So, I like to do filming and photography. So we're going to go out and make a lot of stuff for the social media that you can watch. And my fiance is thinking, what the hell have I gotten myself into? I'm living in a van down by the river.
But. So what's the wheelbase on this van? Is it like a...
It's
like
a Ram ProMaster. Okay. But it's been a 2500 Ram ProMaster, but it's been converted. So it has like a they're called battle-borne batteries, but they're these lithium batteries that are really awesome, and solar panels on the roof. And it's got a fridge in it and a bed in it and all that stuff. And so we can go out into the desert, and I bring my cameras with me and video editing equipment and everything. We just sit out there and film stuff and explore, and you can stay out there indefinitely. You know, you have power and you have cold beer and everything, so it's pretty cool.
Do you have a generator too, or do you just run off the batteries only?
Just run off the batteries. So, like, yeah, I don't really use the – I mean, the way it works is you basically just use the batteries for electric, and then I'm actually installing tomorrow a gas heater that will run, at night, so you can keep the it uses a gallon of gas every 24 hours to heat the inside of the van, so you don't have to leave the motor running all night while you're sleeping, obviously, and run out of gas in the middle of the desert. But it's pretty cool. And then for cooking, you know, if you're cooking, there's different ways of. It's like you're camping, basically, but you have electricity. So,
did you ever get assaulted from any of your bits, like Undercutter's Pizza, where something was thrown at you or punches were delivered?
That's one of our favorite bits, Undercutter's
Pizza. He's always talking about Undercutter's Pizza.
Undercutter's, yeah. Yeah, because I tried to sell a guy a pizza for cheaper.
Right.
And then he chased me with a hammer. Never actually hit me, but...
You had your tackle box all there ready to throw out the pepperoni and everything.
Yeah, I was just trying to be nice. You know, I followed the pizza guy. I had my own pizza, and I had a tackle box with all the toppings, and I tried to make a new pizza and sell it to the guy for cheaper. This was in Long Island. That was the first video that we shot in the United States. And the guy chased me with a hammer, and I thought, wow, Americans are different than Canadians. This is dangerous down here.
What is the old gag of yours that people mention the most to you?
There's a lot of favorite. That's definitely one of them. I mean, people bring up when I painted my parents' car with the pornographic images.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm not even – this is how much the world has changed. I'm not even sure if I can say the name of the – or should say the name even. I know you can of what that video was. But I just say the pornographic image – the pornography of my parents' car. But it was called the something mobile. you know, everyone was fine. I was set it on Oprah, you know. I mean, Oprah said it, you know. But it's funny. The documentary shows that And when my parents got brought on Oprah, you know, and that was when my parents realized, oh, okay, maybe these pranks are okay. But yeah, that one.
Why aren't you driving the car, Dad?
Yeah.
Why aren't you taking the car, Dad?
Yeah. When I painted their house as well,
yeah,
plaid. And it was, you know, it was like, I mean, it's kind of weird to, that's sort of what the documentary is about. It's weird to think about it now, like that it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it's 20, 25 years ago now, but it wasn't. Doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it is a long time ago.
It's a long time as far as culture and technology.
Yeah, there was no real reality TV in a sense. Like, you know, now we've seen so many shows, of course, Jackass, but also even just shows like, you know, the Osbournes came after that, and then the Kardashians were families and parents and the Real Housewives and everybody arguing with each other. But my show wasn't a reality show, but it was sort of me going and doing these pranks on my real parents in the middle of the night, which now you see on TikTok and YouTube and all this. But at the time when the show came out, people would come up to me and they didn't really understand that they were not actors at first. You know, are those your real parents? Mm-hmm. And it was always so strange to me but it was just so new. People weren't used to seeing something like that. You know, my parents would kill me if I did that to them, and it was just really kind of an out of nowhere kind of thing for people to see that. So it's pretty cool. And the documentary really kind of paints that picture and shows a lot of those early clips. So,
and if I remember correctly, the gag when you painted your father's car, you put a different hood on there that was already painted and everything. And what happened to that hood, that piece of pop culture memorabilia? Is it still in existence? Do you know where it is?
I still have it. Yeah. It's in my storage container on the farm, and it still exists. And
you didn't hang it in your living room or anything.
You know,
like that?
It will be. I'm going to find a place, maybe in the barn.
There you go.
Because it did hang on the wall of my garage in Los Angeles for the last.
I think the mule would love it.
Yeah, the mule would love to see the P-Mobile.
Absolutely, yeah. Something for her to look at for sure.
Tom, we thank you for coming up here. It's always great to talk to you, and you're at the Granada tonight.
Yep.
Big show, and you're bringing your guitar. What kind of guitar are you playing tonight?
I got a Gibson J45.
Yeah. Okay, hey, George. That's George's favorite.
All right, all right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's going to be nice. And last time I was in Austin, I went to Austin Vintage Guitars. I got myself a nice 1976 Centennial Martin, which was nice, and I'm probably gonna have to buy another guitar when I go to Austin. So
do you have a lot of instruments, or are you kind of a collector?
I don't have a lot of guitars, but I'm starting to kind of get the bug a little bit, which is scary because I can see how that I see
Gordo
my
can
collect
relate.
Guitars and I see how that goes.
Gordo could probably sell you a guitar.
Yeah, I got to get rid of all mine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm trying to pare mine down. Nice. What was the name of your rap group? Was it Organized Rhyme?
Organized Rhyme.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, we were nominated for a Juno Award when I was a teenager, which is like a Canadian Grammy. So
okay,
we didn't win, but it was sort of my first sort of. I always made music. I made the beats for the band and rapped in the band. And so, but I sort of, as I've gotten older, I started to sort of play my guitar more and piano and started, you know, every time I'd write a rap song in my home studio, I'd be like, wait a minute, I'm 50. It was weird enough when I was 19, you know, rapping, you know, like.
Well, didn't hip-hop start with white young Canadians?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the origin.
Exactly. So, but we loved it. You know, we were big fans of Public Enemy and Run DMC and the Beastie Boys. And it was, I always say, like, the rap music was like sort of a glimpse into another world. You know, we didn't have the internet right in the 80s, so it was kind of like our way. That and skateboarding magazines was our way of sort of seeing what was going on in other parts of the world. Without, you know, like you had your mainstream movies and TV, but we would sort of find that was where we found, you know, the truth, right? Mm-hmm. In rap music, so and skateboarding.
Well, good. Appreciate you coming up here, Tom, tonight at the Granada. If people want to go see Tom, visit the Granada site. Are there any tickets left, Scott?
Yes.
Okay, we still got some tickets left.
GranadaTheater.com. Buy them there.
GranadaTheater.com. There you can buy tickets
get
to
them
see
now.
Tom
the
Green.
Whole show, the tour's pretty much sold out. All five shows at the Mothership are sold out this weekend. And so, but the yeah, so come on now. Get them before you show up. But it's been great. Crowds have been great. I was in Oklahoma City last night, and it was an awesome show. And it's been
nobody
incredible.
Threw anything at you.
No,
anything
no,
bad?
No, no.
Hammers,
well,
nothing.
Surprisingly.
Right. No, it's be been nice great. To Tom Green. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, all right. Have really a great fun. Show tonight.
Thank you.
The big game is almost here.
It's 5:19. It's Thursday. It's the Hard Line, and ladies and gentlemen, it is our weekly time to introduce the ticket classic, The Rant. Starring the three important cast members, Corby Davidson, David Lane, and of course, your host, Gordon Keith.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Hardline. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
He does the show from the toilet.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I do appreciate it.
Oh, it's Jay Leno.
Or is this your...
Oh, sorry.
I thought it was your Vocal Fry podcast voice.
Yeah, this one I'm going to start working on. It's just, you know, sort of a kind of, you know,
podcast.
It's not too dissimilar from your NPR voice. It's just a little bit more
but the
valley.
NPR, they actually do enunciate a tad.
NPR does do that. I send
oh, hi, Carlton.
Maxwell.
Who?
I can't really do a Carlton Maxwell, but.
Yeah, you're close.
All right, yes. The Rant was a Saturday show here on The Ticket that...
People still talk about it.
Gordon was the ringleader, and...
You guys are the only ones that talk about it.
Man, every day on the streets.
Corby and myself were his sidekicks, and we would talk about random stories that we found interesting and beat them into the ground over the course of 2 hours, sometimes three.
Sometimes three.
And
then
so
go
we have
get
a-
wasted.
Yeah. Then we would get plowed and talk about all the things we had just talked about.
Yep.
So the first one, I don't know, are you guys fans of Anna Pauly, the OnlyFans star?
I learned today that my concept of OnlyFans is zero.
In what way? What do you mean?
Apparently DJ is an expert on OnlyFans.
I know. Well, he's our producer, and so he's...
Boy, we have a whole staff of experts up here.
That's what he does.
I'm also a fan.
He has to learn about different things, and OnlyFans is one of them. I didn't know that you could do porn on OnlyFans, like full-on sex porn.
What do you think?
What did you think it was, Corby?
I just thought it was people by themselves with fruit and stuff. I didn't know that like you just get a bunch of dudes
wait,
in there.
Hold on.
Did you guys used to have a sex...
What do you...
I thought it was, quote, people by themselves with fruit and stuff.
Yeah, like hot girls and fruit. That's kind of what my...
I mean, you could probably find that if you wanted to.
Yeah, right. I just didn't know it could be a full-on four or five people in there and just go to town.
We've had the story of the chick that had 1,000 dudes.
I thought that was like a porn.
No, she's an OnlyFans star.
Okay. Maybe the lines are being blurred, Dave.
Between what?
Porn and OnlyFans.
Well, no, it's a
Corby
porn site.
I think you're really confused, Corby.
All right, let's just stop talking to Corby. Go ahead, Dave.
Corby like, Davidson. What do you think happens on there?
I honestly didn't know that like you and I could do an OnlyFans and have sex. I didn't know that was...
What a weird pitch for me, first of all.
I want to subscribe to this. I want to follow you
right.
guys.
No, we're not.
OnlyFans.
How much money could we make?
Bob and Corby having sex.
Yeah, well, no, it's like the Hardline OnlyFans, but for the first few months, fun. It's just us giving each other really intense back rubs.
Yeah.
But you can cut the sexual tension with a knife.
But then I say, I'm like, all right, for an extra $20.
I'll put in a finger.
We're... Oh. No, you can't even see.
Yeah, Dave, I'm not sure.
For an extra $20, we'll go to town. So do you wait to see the cha-ching, 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 or you just go do it?
You got to build demand. You don't want to give all the goods away for nothing at the front.
Yeah, I don't get it. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So Anna Polly, her actual name is Anna Beatrice Piera Alves.
Oh. Are you doxing her?
Well, she has passed away. She died January 23rd at a hotel in Rio de Janeiro. She was 27, and she was found in a courtyard at the complex, a four-star hotel there in Rio. And I guess there is footage of a police officer standing over her body covered in a blood-soaked sheet. Not sure how many stories she fell, but she fell much like Liam Payne, fell to her death. And she reportedly fell to her death as she was filming a three-way.
So the three-way got so crazy that she got launched over the balcony?
Don't know. The police questioned the two men who were with her at the hotel.
This is how what?
This is how Bob will die.
I doubt it.
You will be having a three-way and you will be launched.
Oh, yeah.
Drop your pants.
I don't think. I think I'm going to be okay.
People will look out their hotel window and see you.
The railing just giving way.
The courtyard.
That was forced.
Okay.
Did they say what kind of ratio there was in the three-way?
Yes. Well, the two men who were with her in the hotel room were interviewed by police. And according to police, they gave conflicting accounts of what happened. I guess because they were maybe on different ends.
Yeah, or maybe the same.
They were both seeing. They both saw it from a different perspective.
Yeah. But they were both released by police after being questioned. So at this point.
Gordon? What?
They were allowed to leave police custody.
Okay.
Yeah, are you in trouble?
I mean, if someone dies and you're a witness to it.
I know, but like, could they be charged and convicted of something?
Possibly.
But you're just doing
anything.
At this point, they have not been charged with anything. Police are looking at hotel CCTV footage and also looking at Anna Polly's mobile phone to see if they can glean any evidence from there. Her boyfriend...
Oh, gosh.
Pedro Henrique.
One of the two?
No, he was not in the room at the time, I don't think, or maybe he was behind the camera. I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
But
I think
he says.
The world has really passed us by, guys.
He says if someone is to blame, they will pay and the culprit will be found. He paid tribute to her.
Well, wait, you know the culprit. If there is one at all, you know exactly who they are. It's not like the Nicole Simpson murder chase. It's two dudes on the balcony with her. If anybody did anything untoward, it's one of those two guys. But they were doing it.
Allegedly.
I guess you got me in a corner there, but...
Sex crimes.
So he paid tribute to her on his social media saying it's so...
is vulgar.
It's so difficult without you. As the hours pass, it's starting to sink in, and the hole in my heart is only getting bigger. It's weird that he's thinking about holes.
Okay, Dave.
And a friend of hers said she had loads of plans. She wanted to expand her presence on social media, and she always spoke enthusiastically about her future projects.
That's sad. I think if there's any charges, it would be like negligent homicide. Like they put her in...
like they were balancing her on the railing precariously.
Yeah, that they were not taking enough precautions.
Just watch it over there, sir.
Okay, and also, the breaking news today, I'm sure you've heard it on the tickers. The Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by multiple massage therapists. So this is from a report from the Baltimore Banner. I don't know if that's like a...
It feels made up.
I know.
If that's more of like a tabloid rather than a daily. But they say that... Six different massage therapists have accused him of exposing himself,
rubbing his genitals on them,
and leaving fun on massage tables after sessions.
And like, you clean that up.
They also say he was banned from two spas. Now, his attorney has denied the allegations, saying they're impossible to prove. And Tucker also put out his own statement saying that in accusing me of misconduct, the article takes innocuous or ambiguous interactions and skews them out of proportion so they're no longer recognizable. This is desperate tabloid fodder. But the six women say that this happened between 2012 and 2016.
Wait a minute. 10 years ago and we're just now learning about this? This is fishy. No pun intended.
Okay. Okay.
One of the massage therapists says, I've told I've told people about this over the years, and they either act like it's hot goss or a joke, but it was really degrading.
Hot goss?
Like gossip.
That she used those words?
Yeah, hot goss. What's the hot goss? Spill the tea.
You heard that, Corby?
No.
It's said on OnlyFans a lot.
With the fruit. And another massage therapist says, I can't watch sports anymore. I see his face everywhere. He made a point to tell me I'm a kicker. I play for the Ravens. And she said that he asked her to focus on his glutes and inner thighs and kept exposing himself. She said, I tucked him in like a baby, but he kept repositioning so I would brush against his privates.
So this doesn't sound, if there's a good massage therapist bad guy, what? Between him and Deshaun Watson, it sounds like that he's the better of the two.
Yeah, he's more like, oop, that was an accident.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry, rather than just happy baby,
yeah.
Look at what I've got.
Yeah. Also,
stop referencing
I'm with
happy
you, Bob.
Baby.
Can someone answer me why this is just now coming to light? Like, why are these women, do they all figure out that they had the same story? Were they at a convention? And also,
I've seen some older posts today in these reports that have surfaced about this same thing from him back in like 2021. So people have been tweeting about this for a few years.
So this is
now.
Like the...
investigative journalist just finally got a hold of the story and tried to piece all of the different... testimonies together.
Yeah, like Hannibal Buress was the one that broke the Bill Cosby story, but it took years for it to be fully realized, I guess.
And he broke this one too?
No, he did not. He had nothing to do with this. And I also question, I'm not going to victim blame or do anything of the
okay, sort. good. Right. Go on.
Davidson.
But yeah, keep going.
I can't watch sports anymore because I see him everywhere. Okay.
Well, they live in Baltimore.
Yeah, she can't watch.
All right, well,
like Ravens games are always on.
Okay, yeah, right. But he's
he probably does commercials in Baltimore.
She said sports
for like rubber sheets and stuff.
So any sport.
So just to be clear, you're taking the athlete side again.
He's not even a Sooner.
He could have been at one point.
I'm not taking his side. I'm just saying it's a very, very flimsy premise to say. I just can't watch sports anymore. I see him like he's Mahomes. He's the kicker. A good one.
Yeah.
But just
some
kicker.
Say the greatest kicker of all time.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, how's the college cheering because he's one of ours? Does that apply to a day like today, or do you sort of lower the flag and
your little Longhorn flag?
Yeah.
like the Poncho's flag.
Let's wait till all the facts come out before we jump to any conclusion.
I did see a funny tweet that the Browns had already traded for him.
Yeah, three firsts.
Okay. But Deshaun Watson and Justin Tucker, they're barking up the wrong tree. Like, you don't go to nice places.
Right. Dave has other ideas of who you should assault.
Go on.
No,
go
ahead, I'm just, you don't go to nice places.
You go to Orchids of Asia.
Yes. Yeah, you ask where to get a crafty.
Right.
You don't go to a legitimate massage therapist and then try to accidentally get a handy.
Right.
Bob's Here's my taking penis. Notes right now.
And you know what? If he left his fun around there and just walked away. What a pig.
Right. You always use a
Kleenex. The problem with him, Corby, is that he didn't clean up after himself.
Yeah,
he wasn't
tidy.
That was his crime.
Good stuff, Corby.
Well, anyway, we're out of time, guys, but this has been great.
What do you use to clean up, Bob?
Golf towel.
Just
yeah, his whistling straight style.
Oh, Bob.
This is our daily Dexter reference, or are we just going to carry on?
Oh. All right, good stuff. Thank you, Gordon. Tonight, Twitch, you want to give your
7:35
your TV ads at 11 o'clock. It was circus hour across the Metroplex as the Cowboys held the press conference to introduce head coach number 10, Brian Schottenheimer. I think it was Wednesday, the day that we were all kind of like, wow, because every single beat writer was saying the same thing. This is going to happen within 24 hours type thing.
Yeah, that was the second consecutive day that they were having extended sit-down meetings.
Right, right. And it was just too much. It was too many people saying the exact same thing, and they were all right in the end. At Friday at 9:30 or whatever, it was the ultimate news dump. They make the announcement, and then this morning they welcome him in. So I feel so bad for this guy already, because it's like his legs were cut out after he gave this incredibly emotional speech, which he should be emotional. It's a 51-year-old guy getting his first crack at a head coaching job after he thought it was probably going to happen at the age of 35. It never did.
Right.
And now it does. And whether you agree with the hire or not, you can't disagree with the fact that he's a human being and that...
Confirmed.
He's reached the pinnacle of the coaching ladder. And he's now a head coach, and he's a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So him getting up there and getting emotional and, you know, crying when talking about his father and his family and...
Talking to his mama.
Mom. Yeah, all of it. Like, I thought that was incredibly endearing.
I've told you about that day with Dave Campbell. You just felt so happy for this guy.
But you knew.
But you kind of knew how this would likely go.
Yeah, you knew.
And I mean, it's a better situation than what Campo was stepping into, but it's the same prerequisites. You're cheap, and we know you, and you're compliant.
Yeah, you're right, though, in terms of, I mean, we can argue this, and I'm sure we will, but if you're saying fringe top 10 quarterback, and you get paired with him, that's a really sweet opportunity for your first gig. Now, what you have to do, of course, is maybe even quietly study where guys went wrong working under Jerry Jones and do your best to defend against that. Now, part of defending against that might actually get you run out of here, because when coaches bristle and push back when Jerry is doing Jerry things, we absolutely realize that that angers him. And going all the way back to Jimmy. That's a good way to start your exit. So it's a weird deal. Looking back, a guy like Pete Carroll was never going to work here.
No.
You know, and so that's what most of us are upset about, is the process has not moved at all. The process continues to be your candidates for your head coaching job are not head candidates elsewhere. Because, well, for a number of reasons, but number one, they don't like to compete with other teams, because then the price rises and then the leverage rises about, hey, I get to have a say in draft picks. Hey, I get to name my own staff. Like, they want to continuously hire head coaches with zero leverage. And whether they do it and actually speak it, or it just happens subliminally, you know, it doesn't matter. They love coaches who have no authority, because those coaches are very pliable to the way they are comfortable. And when he says today, I didn't do this move to be comfortable, that's a really cool thing for you to say, but it's just flat out not true, because they love their comfort zone. And I would argue they might love that more than they love winning.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about discomfort, what actually evokes change, then you're talking about firing Mike McCarthy after the Green Bay playoff game, or firing him mid-season and making an uncomfortable change. But they don't like doing that. They want to be comfortable. They want to hire people on their terms. They don't want to pay out buyouts. They don't want to pay out, you know, the remainder of contracts. They act like they don't have a lot of cash, for one thing. But then when they hire coaches, it's these same guys who are very thankful for the opportunity, which you, again, you should be thankful for the opportunity, but it's just not like many of the other jobs.
No, and think about it this way too, from a money perspective. I don't know what the deal is. Like, right?
We haven't heard anything.
Okay.
No, and if it's up to them, we never will.
Right. So let's just say it's probably not what McCarthy was making, but let this sink in. Penn State just hired Ohio State's defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, away. Jim Knowles is going to make $3.5 million as a coordinator in college for Penn State. And that's probably going to equal or be more than what the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys makes. The defensive coordinator for Penn State.
Yeah, it could very well be. And see, that's what is so upsetting when people are like, what are you guys mad about or whatever? Schottenheimer might be great. Yes, he might be. The thing is, the Cowboys are worth over $10 billion. There is no salary cap for coaches. And I feel like we just have to say this over and over because some people just don't know. They're like, everyone's got the same amount of money to spend. No. The Cowboys have way, way more to spend. And there are ways they can spend it to give them a competitive advantage that is not about players. It's not about the cap. And for a coaching staff, they could literally pay enough money to take – 5 of the best 7 coaches in all of pro football. Maybe 2 wouldn't do. 2 wouldn't go to live because, you know, just because you paid them to. The rest form a coaching Avengers super team, and you have them all. Like, you literally get the best coaches, and hopefully they can work together. But the Cowboys would never do that because to do that, you would have to kind of give up control. And they love control so very much. Steven loves it almost as much as Jerry. And by the time Jerry passes on, Steven will love it even more. And that's what this is about. It's about the control to do it the way you want. We're not going to hire someone where we have to get in a bidding war with other franchises. We're not going to give up draft picks. We're not going to give up, you know, we're not going to pay a buyout to a college to go get Sark or Ryan Day or something like that. We're just not going to do it.
Or even a cheap buyout like Deion. And it's cheap.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's very cheap. But to get Deion, Deion's going to have a list of things that need to be a certain way. Whereas Brian Schottenheimer has been working here. He knows the score. In fact, it's very possible he was your conduit to the head coach. Like, if you needed to talk to McCarthy, sometimes you probably would go right through Schottenheimer. You might even ask Schottenheimer why McCarthy is doing things like he is, and why isn't he doing it this way? And, you know, that puts Schottenheimer in a weird bind. But through it all, they decided, well, we want Schottenheimer calling plays. Okay, let's tell McCarthy we want Schottenheimer calling plays. Now, I'm not saying that's what got McCarthy out of here. Maybe it was financial. But if you tried hard to get the play sheet from Kellen Moore, and then a year and a half later, with a quarterback injury, they want the play sheet in Schottenheimer's hands, that might explain why McCarthy bounced.
And it's also curious, because we talked about at the time, after that disastrous September of would they make a midseason coaching change like they did with Wade? And then you give Jason Garrett an audition period before then you hire him as head coach. And to me, this just shows how there was no plan. Because if you decided that you wanted Schottenheimer to call plays, or if you tabbed him as the heir apparent and you thought that he might be your 10th head coach, then why wouldn't you make a midseason change and give him the opportunity to win the locker room
right,
and to show to the fans that he deserves this job, rather than waiting for a messy slink out the side door divorce with McCarthy and then wait 2 weeks and then at 9:30 on a Friday say, he's our head coach.
Yeah, and you know, and that goes back to, I think they expected McCarthy to accept all of their terms. Because if they didn't, then they would have fired him in October, perhaps, or at least started conversations with your Mike Vrabels, your Bill Belichicks, and the guys who are on the market right now. John Gruden, who knows? Pete Carroll, who knows? But you're actually kind of courting your next move. This feels like the first time they realized they needed a head coach is when Mike McCarthy said, you know what, I'm good. I'll see you guys later.
I know. And
that's like the first time.
That's why I'm all for, like, if you're a college or pro, whatever, and you're like, you're on the fence, knowing that you probably know which way the wind's blowing with your coach. be the first one to pull the ripcord. Get the ball started on all the talks with whoever it is, right? Don't be the last guy on the block. And they were clearly the last guy on the block. And if I have to sit there and listen to another press conference with Jerry Jones spinning yarns about growing up poor, not poor, but growing up in...
No, the credit card story is
dude,
so tired.
The Bronco story, and now he added the one about you know, playing wiffle ball with a ping pong. And
yeah, why don't you tell us a story that didn't happen 50 years ago?
And you know, these stories that they don't really have a point. The message isn't there, and if the message is trying to be conveyed in a certain way, it's ringing so incredibly hollow. I mean, come on, man.
No,
the Ford Bronco story, if you can't have it all, like you just said, Bob, from a coaching perspective, you can have it all. You can have anything you want.
And
you don't have to drive the 1984 Bronco.
Well, and the Ford Bronco was one of how many cars that he had?
Of course.
But you just, like, you could have Bill Belichick, but with that comes the ability to work with somebody on your level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this boils down to, is you don't want an alpha coach, because an alpha coach, let's say Dion, let's say Belichick, will attract a bigger spotlight or as big of one as you.
Yes, this all is about credit. This is all about Jerry wanting to do it his way.
Right.
And to prove that any one of 500 coaches can win a Super Bowl here.
Yes.
And they can do it with him as the GM.
That quote explained the next 30 years better than any quote ever. The day Jimmy leaves and any one of 500 or whatever it was when that specific quote occurred, 94, that explains the next 30 years better than anything, because he's determined to prove he's right, which is why we say.
And why didn't he think he was right with the Switzer hire? They did win.
Yeah.
But then it all ended.
But that was Jimmy's team.
Of course.
We're so far removed from that.
Right.
And so, but law of averages, if you take enough swings, eventually you will succeed.
Yeah, and you know, I'm even looking at that Ben Johnson video in Chicago, and I think we might have mentioned this last week, but when Ben Johnson walks into the facility and everybody is there and he addresses the room, like, it's not what we saw today, which is, you will be jammed between Steven and Jerry, and they will get as many or more questions than you, and they will have longer word count than you, and just all of this. Like, that's the terms that they're comfortable with. And if you say, would you guys rather win, or would you rather be the Kardashians owning a football team? I don't think that's an easy answer for them.
No. And
actually, maybe it is an easy answer, and it's not the one we want to hear.
And it used to be kind of a joke. I think we looked at that, and we would, you know, try to create those parallels and hypotheticals, and we were like, you know, surely he would take the three Super Bowls, right? Or like the hypothetical that you had, Dave, off the air about.
Yeah, I put this out yesterday as I was watching the Chiefs game, that if you look at the Chiefs, like every year the Athletic poll comes out, the player poll, and the Chiefs stadium facilities,
everything,
front office
just gets hammered.
Everyone hates the Chiefs who works there. The Arrowhead's a dump. Their facilities are a dump. Yet they're about to possibly three-peat. Would Jerry trade AT&T Stadium and the Star for Arrowhead and the Chiefs facility, but three straight Super Bowls? I say no.
No, he wouldn't, because they're also ranked.
They're 24th.
As far as value in the league, and that's not what he's about.
No.
He literally wants to be the most popular kid on the block and the richest kid on the block, yet not the most successful from a winning standpoint.
And I thought it was interesting, you know, even today, talking about how he wanted to be a coach.
The big game is almost here, and it's your last chance to get in on the action. Don't miss out on the final.
Presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Sucking on chili dog, sucking on a dog, sucking on a chili dog, sucking on chili, sucking on a dog, sucking on a chili dog, sucking on chili dog.
And now, here are your hosts, Sean Bass and David Mino.
Ejaculate, Justin.
God.
Oh. Is that a new nickname?
Know me for one day.
That's what we like to call you. It's your skill.
All right, it's the sweet spot on a Friday. Ham has a bunch of new toys, and here he is, Ham Sandwich.
Thank you, Mino. Eatsy's Market and Bakery, and GiveMeTheVin.com brings you Eat Your Toast.
Inch by 3 inch picture.
Ham on the board.
So is that like Ham Bob's on the board. Friend that can fart on command? I can do that whenever Sean asks me to.
We're like, yeah, we're good. We'll take your word for it.
What an unfortunate superpower.
Take you around media night.
Ask my buddy here his special power. Look, he did it.
Now do it again.
You'd be big at the AVNs.
Fun times. We say hello to the hard line. Bob, Corby, and Dave, who I guess are just late. Yeah. We should start without them.
Oh, Sam.
We're on remote.
Corby.
Yep. We are at the Omni Hotel, named after the Spanish explorer Sam Omni. Mm. And
Sam Omni.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that traditional his name's Sam. Name Sam. Yeah.
Right.
It's and, a commander's guard.
We are here for the Doak Walker Award Ceremony, where I might just be getting a little award tonight.
From Doak probably. Himself?
Probably.
Or not.
It was a good thing that we were updated about an hour before showtime that the awards were actually here and not on the SMU campus.
Yeah. I was over trolling sorority houses already, like, what's up, ladies?
You guys want to see me get an award tonight?
You guys know what radio is?
You want to score some doke?
It's like a podcast, but worse.
Watch my friend Justin's superpower.
But with less of a future.
That would be awesome to go around and ask the sorority girls their knowledge of Doak Walker.
I was going to say it'd be interesting to hear their knowledge on radio.
That too. Like a podcast.
I like Dave's description. Jr.? It's like a podcast, but for old people.
It's like a podcast, but you can't pick when it starts.
My dad listens to.
We pick when it starts.
And you can't fast forward through the commercials.
Well,
let us know how that goes.
By the way, you guys are jerks. EA, a very nice question. Just wondering whether or not you can bowl, and man, the cannons turned on him, that poor guy.
We were just trying to clarify his question.
Poor EA.
Okay, Mr.
And the way it was stated, too. Can you bowl in your state? Like, okay, in Texas? Yeah.
What am I, am I catatonic?
I think that he was looking at you as like a modern-day Stephen Hawking.
Let me answer this with my computer.
EA has never been the same since he started starring in gout porn.
I know. Would he be like the top search for gout porn?
Yeah, he'd have the market cornered.
Gout porn.
Well, we got that now.
Yes. Yes.
You're welcome, Ham.
Yes. No.
Big week for Bob.
Which, by the way, Corby,
go on.
Thank you. Sometimes I'll sit there and just be real down and, you know, depressed about the fact that I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. Uh-huh. But then I'll pull up the NBA's Western Conference standings.
I know.
So happy.
And I'm like, don't worry about
it. I need to do this right now.
Look where the Grizzlies are.
They need to tag that to the mental health website.
We have that yet?
I'm looking at the standings, and I can feel my leg.
It's like it's there again.
Oh, my God. The Kings are in 11th?
The Rockets 5.5 games out of first?
If it's not too much, Corby, could I ask for you to just visit the chemo ward one day and just walk around reading out these standings?
Right. Yeah, like at Christmas time when the Cowboys are there handing out presents. You're just walking around with a newspaper.
Hey, look, right. I got a very special guest.
Check it out.
Spurs.
But just the Western Conference. Don't look at
the East.
That'll ruin your day.
How the Pistons are doing.
Nobody cares about Charlotte.
Ugh, gross.
But if anything should make you happy, it's looking at the Western Conference standings in the NBA.
Damn it,
he's right.
You know, Johnny, the Pelicans are 4-19 on the road.
Right. It's not just one loss records. Yeah. You can go deep into home wins, mm-hmm. road wins, yeah, last 10.
Hair off the ground.
It's looking point at the Western Conference standings in the NBA.
But at least they got that. You know, it's all about the silver linings, Corby.
The T-Wolves have won 5 in a row.
You recognize right. that.
So cheer up.
7-3 in the last 10.
If the T-Wolves can come back, so can you, little buddy.
I'll update it tomorrow, yeah. maybe.
By the way, Monty.
At least you're not the Jazz. What's up?
About them Lakers.
About them.
Look at them moving.
Did I see somewhere that we're going to somehow get Bronny to All-Star Weekend?
I hope so. I hope he starts.
Yeah, did he take Kyrie's spot?
He took Luka's spot.
He needs to be in the slam dunk contest.
3-point contest.
And now Bronny James, who scored 4 points this year.
Yay!
All right, today is Friday, January 31st, the 31st day of 2025. 334 days left in the year. In 1988, Doug Williams, the first black quarterback to play in the Super Bowl, led the Washington Redskins, now Commanders, to a 42-10 victory over the Denver Broncos.
When he was asked, how long have you been an African-American quarterback?
As long as I can remember.
Causing Flava Flav to once say, quote, so now we have a black quarterback. Y'all better step back.
Well, he rhymed back with back.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Man, I feel like I was at a live show.
Wow. Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I started Man, to it's feel like Kendrick. Intimidated there.
On this date in 1993 in Super Bowl XXVII, the Cowboys beat the Buffalo Bills.
52-17.
MVP?
Of that one?
Troy Aikman. Uh-huh.
That would have been Troy Aikman.
And where was this Super Bowl played?
Pasadena.
Halftime show?
Michael Jackson.
When is the last time we had a Pasadena Super Bowl?
That was it.
That one.
Just because no luxury suites?
Yeah, now they go to SoFi.
You go to SoFi.
Ooh. Got your ass,
bitch.
I know why he's feeling so Randy right now, though. Corby.
Randy?
On this date in 1999.
Are you feeling Randy?
Put your hands together.
Seth MacFarlane's Family Guy first aired
my God.
Wow.
That's a big one.
Right after Rams Titans?
Wow.
What a game changer, man. Wow. What an absolute game changer.
The first season's kind of weird. The animation's not great.
They always are. Look, the first season of Seinfeld was bad. Yeah, no Mila.
Controversial opinion, I don't really like Family Guy until it was brought back.
Yeah, it gets better.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like the books better.
Yeah.
The books are better. It's way better.
You can't even read.
Fuck.
Like George R.R. Martin's Family Guy.
Well, you had to read. Awesome.
Yeah, once they got past where the books ended, things really fell off.
Right. Can you imagine
they lost source material.
Trying to write that book?
It's not canon.
Yeah, imagine doing a cutaway in a book. Really hard to track. In the year 2000, allegedly Ray Lewis murdered a guy.
Mm. Yeah, he was just murdered.
Dropped.
He didn't
see
a thing.
He was just there. He just witnessed.
He's always a good guy.
Covered it up.
Boy, but Javier thought that
they gotta get him his first ring.
Gotta get him that first ring.
In 2019, we had a blockbuster NBA trade as the Knicks sent Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke to the Mavs for Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and 2 firsts.
I believe, too, Bob, if I'm not mistaken, that trade occurred on a Tuesday at the Super Bowl during Why Today Doesn't Suck.
In? Whoa. Where were we?
What did you just
say? Whoa.
At least he's short.
What a week.
Kristaps is white, but.
Unacceptable. Nobody thinks that's funny except an entire studio of people laughing.
No one except everyone.
I mean, jeez.
Where were we?
I don't even know anymore. Go ahead.
We're
where
in Pasadena.
Were we? We were in Atlanta, right? That was the Atlanta Super Bowl?
Oh, that's why you said it.
You keep going?
Man, we're having a day.
Yeah.
You're not helping, Gerard.
Yeah. Yeah.
One cumulative
Gerard
birthday.
Thinks it's funny.
Sorry, Gerard. Yeah.
That's not the standard we're going to uphold.
The Kemeth birthday today, Engineer Michael.
Yeah.
Michael.
Fun hang.
Happy birthday to Michael. His name's Bud. A couple of P1 birthdays today from Sean's buddy Brian to his wife Kristen.
Is this Scott?
No, this
no,
is Brian.
No, this is Brian.
Doesn't have a sister.
Can you get Kristen on Why Tay Doesn't Suck for her birthday today? Please play a Poydras drop or ask Norm what's in his underwear. I let her stay asleep in that special way.
So happy birthday.
So anyway.
And dear Justin, please wish my buddy Mo Cabazuela a happy Pat Tillman birthday.
Yep, Norm.
Guess what I have in my underwear?
Gout.
A nervous sphincter.
Mm. Oh, is he in the bathroom?
That's even worse.
Ejaculate, Justin.
God. No.
No.
Ejaculate.
Yes, sir.
No, God. Stop.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's a command?
Yeah, that's Sean bossing me around again.
Just do it, Justin.
You're saying get some.
You got this.
Sean's holding out a cracker, pointing to it.
Like I'm doing aim training. We're going to start with a big Taco Bell Cheez-It and work our way down to a Ritz cracker.
Now step back.
It's like a weird sequel to Whiplash.
My tempo.
Oh, man.
He loves your cooking segments with the Touchdown Brothers. That from Adrian, sent from his Kyocera KE414.
I've got a couple of birthdays,
man,
Justin.
You are popular. Dave. Dave.
Yeah, you're like a birthday bro.
I need to wish a happy birthday to my good friend from way back in middle school, Jeff Woodall.
Jeff.
He was once a member of the breakdancing team, the Atomic Crew, when he was in middle school.
Wow.
Did they go to the Olympics this year?
No.
Is that Raygun?
I don't think they reunited for the Olympics. No. And also a happy birthday to the original owner of the ticket, Spence Kendrick.
Oh,
good
dude.
Spence.
Without Spence's enormous amount of monies, none of us would be employed.
Or conning people into putting up their money.
True, true.
A Cumulus station.
Turning 78 today, Nolan Ryan.
Nolan.
Hurry up.
He didn't make it on today. We did Javier instead of Nolan. I support that, by the way.
Doug Peterson, 57.
Mr. Peterson.
Matt Rhule is 50. I'm pretty sure Junior had him on track to be the next Tom Landry.
Future Cowboy coach. Don't count it out. If Robert, he turns Nebraska around, do not count it out.
Robert Saleh, 46.
Saleh.
Could have been a Cowboys coach.
Could have been a Cowboy coach.
Bob's doppelganger, according to Al Michaels.
Yeah. It
did not age
very
well.
Handsome.
Would you prefer that or the king from House of the Dragon?
Yeah.
No, I would prefer the that.
The king
hey,
with leprosy.
Yeah, you look like the guy with leprosy. Like or Robert Saleh.
I would prefer that. King. I just think it might mean Al is perhaps not as lucid as he once was.
Do you think you could outlift Robert Saleh?
No.
Vernon Davis, 41. Mario Williams, 40. Tyler Sagan, 33.
Hockey. New daddy. Sagan. New daddy. He's got a baby.
Get better than
hurry back.
Is it with
long-term IR.
That held up the sign?
About high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a 1-2, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan Banks is 78.
Breaking Bad and Beverly Hills
Not the
Cop.
Mississippi State Corner.
I'll tell you what. That was a great voice this morning.
That was.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
I just need him to say Walter a little more. He didn't say Walter.
Walter.
Walter. Harry Wayne Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band, 74.
Legend.
And Clown Rapist.
What?
Get your windshield fixed, Walter.
Johnny Rotten is 69.
How is he alive?
Happy birthday.
Oh.
Yep.
Grant Morrison, 65. Chad Channing, 58. Original drummer of Nirvana. Minnie Driver, 55.
Okay.
Minnie.
Let's go.
Portia de Rossi is 52.
She was known
course,
as the biggest whore in Hollywood. For
Lindsay Bluth.
Jeez, don't you leave her alone.
So happy birthday.
Yeah. Here's your gift.
Good show. Paul Scheer, 49.
Funny.
The League. Kerry Washington, 48.
She has resting bitch face.
Kerry Washington.
Again, happy birthday.
Punched by Rudy Tomjanovich? No.
Kermit. That's Kermit Washington.
Oh.
45.
Who punched Geno
I'm glad
Smith?
You caught your own Actually, mistake there at the very end.
Bobby though. Moynihan, 48. Justin Timberlake, 44.
JT.
Marcus Mumford is 39.
Is he one of the Sons?
What happened to the Mumford and Sons?
Is that
people?
The lead singer that looks like
they went away because they suck?
Ooh.
Maybe he's too busy blacksmithing to write new songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turning 45 today, star of
he just opened a tannery.
3,705 films. It's Johnny Castle's 45th birthday. He was in films such as Ass That Won't Quit One, Timeless Four, Loose Lips, Sink Ships. Sweet Spot.
Oh. It's the Sweet Spot.
And Roseanne.
That's that one. I'm in the middle of that one.
Yeah. He was in Roseanne, the Triple X parody. She need one?
Did he play Lando in the Sweet Spot?
Time Munch.
Okay.
Good callback.
Born this day, now dead. Ernie Banks.
Let's play two.
Dallas. Jeff Hanneman.
Slayer. Yeah. Legend.
His door's open like this. Not like this. Like this.
That's Russ Hanneman.
No.
Jessica Walter, who played Lucille Bluth. Tough day for us AD fans.
R.I.P.
Jackie Robinson, born this day now. Big booming voice, sounding like Jonathan Banks.
Oh, not golly,
Jackie
guys.
Not Jackie the Joke Man.
Stop bullying me.
And down this day, still dead.
Five, four, three, two. And you're done.